good music today. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Beginning in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 11, the scripture says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ," the works of Christ, he heard about what was going on. He's in jail, but he's hearing about what Christ is doing, the miracles he's performing. "He sent two of his disciples and said unto him," that is Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and tell John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I think one of the most important jobs that we have today in the world as Christians is to let people know that Jesus is the Christ. That's the problem that we have in the world today. People are looking at things, works, or perhaps other leaders, governments, things like that for their salvation. But there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of doubt today in the world about who Jesus is. Now listen. There are Christians today who have doubts that arise in their hearts about Jesus Christ. There are times perhaps when you begin to feel low, you begin to wonder, is he real? Is he really and truly the Son of God? Here in our text we have the personal testimony of John the Baptist. We talked about John in our Sunday school lesson this morning in the earlier chapters of Matthew. John was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that made Jesus and John second cousins. Now, when you read the scriptures, you find that Elizabeth was already 6 months along in her pregnancy when Mary conceived the Christ child. And Mary went down to Elizabeth's house and told her the news. At that time, John was a 6-month-old fetus in Elizabeth's womb. Okay? And when he heard the news, John leaped in his mother's womb. Is there life before birth? That kind of answers the question, doesn't it? Elizabeth, when she heard it, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, John was the appointed forerunner for Jesus. He was the one that God had sent to go before him to make his path straight. And as we look at the scripture record in the four Gospels, we do not know if there was any ongoing relationship between these two. As they were growing up, I doubt it. Because John was raised in Judea, Jesus in Galilee. But one day Jesus went down to the Jordan River from Galilee to be baptized of John. He was about 30 years of age by that time. And the true identity of Jesus as the Son of God had not yet been made public knowledge. It had not been revealed unto John until the time of Jesus' baptism. Now here's what the record says about this. John himself, in the John's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 29, he points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Then he explained to his disciples, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water," God had sent him to baptize with water, "the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." And then John says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Therefore, he could say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, nothing more is said in Holy Writ about Jesus and John except the statement that as John's group of disciples, his followers, became fewer and fewer, his congregation began to drop off, those of Jesus were growing. And when John was confronted with this, he said, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. And then John was arrested and imprisoned by King Herod because they didn't like preachers back then. And before he was beheaded from his prison cell, here he is. He's probably in solitary confinement. And he's sitting there and he gets to thinking, "What am I doing here? What is this life all about? Is Jesus Christ truly the Son of God?" Doubts begin to rise in his mind. So he called two of his disciples and he said, "I want you to go down and confront Jesus. And I want you to ask him point blank, are you the true Messiah? Are you the one who was to come? Or do we look for another?" You see, from his very question, he is seeking verification from Christ that he is indeed who he claims to be. Perhaps at Jesus' reply, that was clarified. Because Jesus told those two disciples that John sent to him, he said, you go back and say to John, John, read your Bible. Read Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, which says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Not this kind of hart, the deer kind of hart. Okay? And the tongue of the dumb sing. That's what the scripture said, and Jesus said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Why? The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus reminded John and his disciples of his miracle works. And by his works, he is assuring him that he is the promised Messiah. Because only the Messiah could do these things that he was doing. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, a ruler of the Jews came to Jesus. Remember what he told him? He said to him, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nobody, not just anybody, can go out here and cause the blind eyes to see and the lame to walk and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and all such as this. So I've chosen for my message proofs of Messiahship. Jesus was perfect in character, fulfilling the messianic prophecies given by the Old Testament prophets. Number two, he performed supernatural miracle works, just as the prophets had said that he would. And third, he offered himself as a sacrifice for the redemption of mankind. Now these three requirements specifically establish the fact that Jesus is the true Messiah, because he fulfilled all three of them to the T. But I want us to look at this qualifying mark of Jesus' Messiahship. The miracles that he performed. They proved that he was the God-appointed, God-sent Redeemer. It was said of him in Isaiah 61, and by the way, Jesus used this as a text for the first message that he preached in the synagogue at Nazareth. The first sermon that he preached. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And this is what the scripture says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. See that? That he might be glorified. Now the Messiah, as the Lord God in the midst of his people, must be a miracle worker. That's one of the qualifications. You stop and think about it. The God in the Old Testament, how did God prove himself? The children of Israel were in Egypt. Egypt had many gods, hundreds of them. And then Moses comes and saying there's not but one. How's he going to prove it? How did God prove himself to Moses? Moses on the backside of the desert, watching his father-in-law's flock, 80-year-old man, sheep herder. And he sees a bush that is on fire, but it's not being consumed. There are no ashes underneath it, no burned leaves, no burned twigs or limbs. It's burning, but it's not consumed. That's a miracle, isn't it? God is appearing to Moses in what we call the burning bush. Then that voice said, pull off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And he did, and then God said, what's that in your hand? He said, that's my rod. Throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and became a snake, a writhing serpent. Moses, I'm sure, jumped back. And then God said, take it by the tail. Now, that's a pretty big order. He reached down and took that serpent by the tail. And that serpent became a rod again in Moses' hand. Miracle? You bet it is. All the way. Hey, he went on into Egypt then on the strength of this. And God down there, he saw the Lord perform all of those plagues that came upon the land of Egypt that we'll not go into now. Until finally Pharaoh was reluctantly he persuaded and he let them go. And they came to the shore of the Red Sea. How are we going to get across? How is God going to prove himself that he's God? It's a miracle. God caused the east wind to blow and he parted the waters and they went across on dry ground. And the Egyptians tried to follow them in their chariots, Pharaoh's army. And the waters came and drowned them. They were all drowned in the sea. But all the Israelites got across on dry ground. Is that a miracle or not? They came over here to the waters of a place called Marah. They were thirsty. The waters were so bitter they could not drink it. God said, Moses, go cut down a certain bush over here. Cast it into the waters. And he did, and the waters were made sweet. That's another miracle. The people came to Moses and said, Moses, we're hungry. A couple of million people out there hadn't had anything to eat. They ran out of groceries. No McDonald's on the corner. We're hungry. Moses said, God, they're hungry. What are we going to do about it? And about that time it started raining. Manna from heaven. God sent manna from heaven. And they ate it for 40 years. It was there every morning, except on the Sabbath days. They came to Moses and said, Moses, we're thirsty. Moses said, do you see any water around here? No. God, the people are thirsty. God said, you see that big old flinty rock over there? Take your rod and go over there and hit that rock with your shepherd's rod. Easier than digging a hole in the ground. He smote the rock and water came out, and all of those people had water, not only for themselves but also for their flocks and herds. It's hot out here under this desert sun. God said, I'll fix it. So he put a cloud up here over the top of it. Caused a nice breeze to blow. They were comfortable in the middle of a hot desert for 40 years. Night came. We don't have any oil for our lamps. God said, that's all right. That cloud up there, it turned a rosy red, and then it got brighter and brighter. And for 40 years, they didn't have to pay an electric bill because they had the glory of God lightened their camp. I'm talking miracles. I'm talking about God proving himself to be God by the miracles that he wrought. The visible presence of God among them. One day they got up and there were snakes crawling all over the place. Fiery serpents were biting the people, and many of the people died from the snake bites. Moses said, God, what are we going to do about this? God said, make a serpent of brass. Set it up in the midst of the camp. And whenever somebody is bitten by a fiery serpent, they can look at that brazen serpent and they'll be healed. That's a miracle. And that's what they did. That's what they did. God proved himself to Israel. And now then, this person comes. Goes down to a wedding. Just edge of town, Cana, Galilee. His mother came to him and said they ran out of wine. He called the servants over and said, fill those six water pots with water. The servants obeyed and filled the water pots with water. And when they dipped that water out of the pots, it was wine. That was his first miracle. He turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. He met a funeral procession taking a young man out to the cemetery to bury him. You can imagine the sorrow and the mourning of the people. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession, went over there and raised him from the dead. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. He cleansed the lepers. 10 at a time, and only one of them turned around and went back and said, thank you. He gave sight to blind eyes and hearing to deaf ears. He healed those that were sick, those that were stricken with all manner of disease. We have diseases today that are on the incurable list. There was no such list in the days when Jesus was here because he healed all manner of diseases. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the dumb to speak. He cast out devils. He stilled the storm. He fed the multitudes of people, 5,000 men besides the women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Miracles. He walked on water. All of these are evidences of deity. He pleaded with his disciples in John 14. It's written to them, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." The many marvelous works that he did were done by the Father in him. He said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Let the works that I do prove to you that I am Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the Messiah. He is the worldwide Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means anybody, "believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." When Jesus was just a baby, Joseph and Mary took him into the temple at Jerusalem. An old fellow by the name of Simeon came in, and he saw that child Jesus in the temple, and he knew that that baby was the Christ, the Son of God. Don't ask me how, but he walked over there, and the Bible says, then took he him up in his arms. He took him from his mother and held the baby Jesus in his arms. And he prayed and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel." Jesus performed many mighty works. And then came the Messiah's special work, foreordained by the Father. His real reason for becoming incarnate, when he offered himself as a substitutionary sacrifice to redeem the human race from sin. That's the biggest miracle of all. He bruised Satan's head in his death. He voluntarily dismissed his spirit and laid down his life. The scripture says, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all." He gave himself a ransom for all. "That he, by the grace of God," Hebrews 2:9, "should taste death for every man." Hebrews 9:26, "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And then the miracle of resurrection. He rose from the dead the third day through the power of God. Now, the people of his generation knew of his works. They were not ignorant of this. Peter said in his sermon as he preached to them there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, he says he was a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him God did by him. See, in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then he said, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, God hath made that same Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised Son of God. Now, during the past 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached around the world to all nations, and millions of Gentiles and multitudes of Jews have trusted and are trusting him as their personal Savior. He is the universal Savior. He's the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. His love is for all the world, and his gospel is for every creature, and he is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you something else. Jesus is still in the miracle working business. I'll tell you, it didn't stop when he went back to heaven. It's a miracle when God can take a poor, lost sinner who believes on him and transforms him into a saint and makes him a child of God and adopts him into his family. Only a miracle from God can bring about a new birth that causes old things to pass away and all things to become new. Only a miracle from God can forgive sin and cleanse the soul from all unrighteousness. Only a miracle from God can clothe us in a spotless robe of imputed righteousness and make us presentable without spot or blemish in the presence of Almighty God. Only Jesus. Only a miracle from God can raise up the dead on resurrection morning to a new body likened to the glorious body that Jesus has even today. He is a miracle working God. Has he worked a miracle in your life? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are indeed a miracle-working God. We thank you that Jesus proved himself to be the promised Messiah by the works that he did and by the works that he continues to do in the lives and hearts of people today who believe in him. Those of us that stand before you today would be lost and undone without Christ, without God, without hope, if it were not for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by your grace through our faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's one, even one in this congregation today, who has never in their hearts received Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day when they will let Jesus come in, that they will believe in him and accept him as the Son of God. For Jesus said that if we believe on him, that we would never perish. He's the door. By me, he says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, Father, today, speak to hearts. Let the Holy Spirit work a work of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.